Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show. We're diving deep today into something that really hit close to home for a lot of us.
Yeah.
That pipeline fire in Deer Park back in September 2024.
Right.
We've got two main sources we're going to be looking at today. First, we've got that in-depth investigation report from the Texas Railroad Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also going to be hearing from some residents directly from some of that powerful coverage from KHL 11.
Yeah. It's a story that I think, you know, brings up some really important questions for all of us who live in these communities. You know, we're surrounded by industry and it makes you wonder,
right,
what happens when those safety protocols fail?
Exactly.
Who's responsible when things go wrong? And what can we as residents actually do to make sure that our voices are heard,
yeah,
and that our communities are protected?
And I think that's what we really want to get to the bottom of today.
Absolutely.
Was anyone held accountable for this?
Yeah.
And what is life like now for the folks living on East Meadow Drive where this all went down?
Right.
So let's rewind back to that September day in 2024.
Okay.
I mean, it's hard to imagine, but a car actually crashed into a natural gas pipeline.
Oh, wow.
And this wasn't just a fender bender.
Right.
This sparked a massive fire.
Yeah.
It burned for 3 days straight.
3 days?
3 days. Imagine that intense heat, the smoke, the fear for those 3 days.
And, you know, it's important to remember that this didn't happen in some, you know, remote industrial area.
Right.
This was right in the middle of a neighborhood on East Meadow Drive.
Yeah.
You know, for residents like Robert Blair, who's lived there for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
The experience was absolutely terrifying. He talked about feeling those waves of heat, just the sheer intensity of it.
Right.
And the fear, yeah, that lingers long after the flames are gone.
Absolutely. So obviously with an incident this serious,
of course,
the Texas Railroad Commission, they oversee pipeline safety in the state they stepped in to investigate.
They're safe.
They wanted to know exactly what happened. And they put together this report and it lays out a pretty chilling timeline.
Okay.
So at 10.08 a.m. that morning, the alarm goes off in Energy Transfer's control room.
Uh-huh.
6 minutes later, the call is made to shut down that pipeline.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
The main valve wasn't actually closed until 11.21 a.m.
Wow.
Over an hour later.
So over an hour later, that gas is still flowing.
Still flowing. So that begs the question, why did it take so long to shut it off?
Right. That's a detail that really jumps out at you when you read that report.
Yeah.
Why so long? And I think that question really gets at this whole issue of accountability.
Exactly. And to add to that, the commission's final report stated that Energy Transfer, the company that owns the pipeline, they didn't actually violate any safety regulations.
And that finding really seems to contradict what the resident is saying.
Right.
You know, we talked about Robert Blair.
Yeah.
He felt like Energy Transfer hasn't done enough to secure that area of around the pipeline.
Yeah.
Even though it runs right through their neighborhood.
Right through it.
Yeah.
And it's not just that immediate danger that residents are dealing with.
Right.
It's a whole host of long-term consequences. Some are really struggling with insurance companies,
mm-hmm,
trying to get their homes repaired.
Oh, wow.
The financial toll is huge.
Yeah.
The commission's report estimates over $1.3 million in property damage.
And that's just the physical cost, right?
Exactly.
That doesn't account for the emotional distress,
yeah,
the disruption to their lives, you know, the long-term health concerns that these residents might be facing.
So where do we go from here?
Right.
Immediately after the fire, Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo, you know, she's a strong advocate for our community.
Absolutely.
She called for better pipeline protection, but she acknowledged that state law might limit what local authorities can actually do.
Yeah, that's a really crucial point.
Yeah.
It brings up a lot of questions. Are we relying too much on this idea of no violations as a measure of safety?
Right.
Should we be pushing for these proactive improvements that go beyond just the bare minimum requirements?
Yeah.
And how do we navigate this whole, you know, complex web of state versus local authority,
yeah,
when it comes to protecting our neighborhoods?
These are tough questions.
They are.
And I think we need to really unpack those today.
Absolutely.
So let's dive in. I mean, it seems like we always end up in this reactive cycle, waiting for something to go wrong before we actually take action.
Right.
Shouldn't we be demanding more proactive safety measures, especially when these pipelines run right through our neighborhoods?
Absolutely. I mean, the Deer Park fire, it's a stark reminder that pipelines, while they're essential for our energy needs, they also pose significant risks to these communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just about preventing those major incidents like this fire, but also thinking about the smaller leaks and spills that can contaminate our environment,
yep,
affect our health.
And to that point, you know, about being proactive Energy Transfer, they did install additional concrete barricades,
right,
around the pipeline after the incident.
Yeah.
But is that really enough?
That's a good question.
I mean, do those barricades really address the root causes, or are they just a Band-Aid solution?
Yeah, I mean, barricades, they might offer some level of protection, but they don't necessarily address those underlying issues.
Right.
Pipeline integrity, leak detection, those emergency response times.
So what are some of the more robust solutions that we should be pushing for. Yeah. What can we do as residents to really push for meaningful change and hold these folks accountable?
Well, there's a number of approaches. You know, one is advocating for stricter regulations,
okay,
more rigorous enforcement at both the state and federal level. Mm. This could include mandating more frequent inspections,
okay,
requiring these advanced leak detection technologies,
right,
or even establishing buffer zones around these pipelines,
okay,
to limit development in those areas.
So kind of like a no-build zone.
Exactly.
Keep those areas clear.
I think technology has a role to play here too.
Yeah. Could advancements in pipeline monitoring, like real-time leak detection,
yeah,
or remote-controlled shutoff valves, could that help prevent these incidents?
Absolutely. I mean, investing in those types of technologies could really reduce the risk of those major incidents,
okay,
and minimize environmental damage caused by leaks.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a system that could detect a tiny leak the moment it happens.
Wow.
And then automatically shut off the flow of gas, preventing a potential catastrophe.
That sounds like a game changer.
Yeah.
But technology is only part of the solution.
Right.
What about emergency preparedness?
Mm-hmm.
Are residents in these areas being told about evacuation routes, what to do if there's a pipeline incident?
That's such a crucial point, and it really highlights, you know, the importance of community education, community engagement.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure that residents are aware of the risks,
okay,
that they know how to identify the signs of a leak,
mm-hmm,
and they have a plan in case of an emergency.
See, but like drills, information leaflets.
Yeah, and clear communication channels between those emergency responders and the community.
So it sounds like a multi-pronged approach is really what's needed here.
Yeah.
Stronger regulations, the technology.
Right.
And a well-informed and prepared community.
Exactly.
But how do we get there?
It starts with awareness,
okay,
understanding the issues,
right,
recognizing that we all have a stake in pipeline safety.
Yeah.
It's about having these open and honest conversations, asking tough questions,
yeah,
and demanding better from those who are responsible for protecting our communities.
It's not about pointing fingers or placing blame.
Right.
It's about working together.
Yeah.
Residents, industry, representative, government officials,
mm-hmm,
to find solutions that really puts safety first.
Absolutely. And recognizing that we as residents, we have a voice. We have a role to play.
We do.
Attending city council meetings.
Yeah.
Contacting our state representatives. Mm. Writing letters to the editor. These are all ways that we can make our concerns heard.
Be proactive, not reactive.
Did it.
Demand better, not just accept the status quo.
Right. And remember, you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to have all the answers.
Right.
Every voice matters, and even small actions can have a big impact.
That's a powerful message.
Yeah.
And it really speaks to what Think and Act Locally is all about.
Absolutely.
Empowering residents to take ownership of these issues,
yeah,
and work together to create change.
It's about recognizing that we all have a role to play in shaping the future of our communities,
mm-hmm,
being informed, engaged,
yeah,
proactive, and advocating for our own safety and well-being.
This pipeline incident, while it was tragic,
yeah,
it's a reminder that we can't just sit back and wait for someone to fix things.
Right.
We need to be active participants.
Yeah.
Demand accountability.
Absolutely.
Push for those solutions that protect our neighborhoods and our environment.
Now let's shift gears for a moment and talk about the emotional toll that, right, this incident has taken on the residents of East Meadow Drive.
Yeah, it's just heartbreaking to imagine what they've been through.
Yeah.
The fear, the uncertainty.
Right.
The disruption to their lives.
Imagine having your home damaged, your sense of security shattered, your future up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
The trauma of that experience is going to stay with them for a long time.
And we need to offer them support.
Absolutely.
Resources to help them cope with this emotional aftermath.
Right.
This could involve mental health services, support groups for residents, even just offering a listening ear.
Yeah, it's about showing them that they're not alone in this, that their community cares, and that we're here to support them.
And it's not just about immediate support.
Right.
We need to ensure that they have access to those long-term resources to help them rebuild their lives.
Absolutely.
Financial assistance, legal aid, even connecting them with community organizations that can help them.
Right. And that's a message we want to extend to all of our listeners in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena.
Mm-hmm.
We're a community. We're in this together.
We are.
If you or someone you know has been affected by this pipeline incident, please don't hesitate to reach out for help.
Yeah.
There are resources available, and we're here to connect you with them.
You are not alone.
You're not alone.
We're here to support you.
We are.
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
It can feel overwhelming to think about all the complexities and challenges.
It can.
But I want to leave you with a message of hope.
Okay.
We can create positive change.
Oh, we can.
By working together, raising our voices, demanding better, we can make our community safer. more resilient.
Absolutely.
And more prepared for whatever challenges may come our way.
And remember, every action, no matter how small, can contribute to that change.
So don't underestimate your power to make a difference.
That's right.
Now, before we move on to our final thoughts, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the incredible resilience of those residents on East Meadow Drive.
Yeah.
They've been through so much, yet they continue to show strength, determination, and a deep sense of community.
They're an inspiration to all of us.
They are, and we at Think and Act Locally are committed to supporting them every step of the way.
Absolutely. We'll continue to share their stories, amplify their voices, and advocate for their needs.
Now let's move on to our final thoughts for this deep dive.
Okay.
We've talked about the immediate aftermath, the ongoing challenges,
right,
the need for those proactive safety measures.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another element to consider: the long-term implications of this incident for our community.
Yeah, that's a really important point.
It's not just a one-time event we could just move on from.
Right.
This is a wake-up call.
It is.
That demands a fundamental shift in how we think about infrastructure safety and the relationship between industry and community.
Yeah, we need to move beyond that reactive approach to safety.
Right.
And embrace a more proactive, preventative mindset.
Okay.
This means having those open and honest conversations about the risks, investing in those advanced technologies,
yeah,
and holding these companies accountable.
Absolutely.
For operating in a responsible and transparent manner.
And empowering residents,
yes,
to be active in these conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure their voices are heard, their concerns are addressed, and their safety is prioritized.
It's about creating a true partnership,
yeah,
between industry, government, and community.
Everyone working together,
exactly,
to create, yeah, that safer and more sustainable future.
That's a powerful vision.
It is. And it's a vision that we at Think and Act Locally are committed to making a reality.
Absolutely.
Now, as we wrap up this deep dive,
okay,
I want to leave our listeners with a few key questions to ponder.
All right.
How can we, as residents of Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena,
yeah,
ensure that our voices are heard in these decisions that affect our safety and well-being?
Mm-hmm.
What steps can we take to hold our elected officials and industry leaders accountable for prioritizing safety and transparency?
Right.
And how can we as a community come together to support those affected by this incident and work towards a future where tragedies like this are prevented?
These are all crucial questions to consider.
Yeah.
And we at Think and Act Locally encourage you to engage with us on these issues, share your thoughts, and join the conversation.
Together, we can make a difference.
We can.
And remember, knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
The more informed we are, the better equipped we'll be to advocate for change and create a safer, more resilient community.
That's so true.
So stay engaged, stay informed, and stay connected.
And never underestimate the power of your voice.
We've talked about taking action and demanding change.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the reality of the legal landscape.
Yeah, the legal side of things can get a bit tricky.
Yeah, you mentioned Judge Hidalgo's call for better pipeline protection.
Right.
But she also pointed out that state law could tie the hands of local authorities.
Exactly.
So what are we really up against here? What kind of legal limitations are we talking about?
Well, Texas, like a lot of states, has a really complex system of regulations when it comes to pipelines.
Okay.
Often the federal government, through agencies like PHMSA, sets those basic safety standards.
Mm-hmm.
But states can adopt and enforce their own rules, and sometimes those state regulations might not be as strict as the federal ones.
So even if our communities want tougher safety measures, they might be blocked by state law.
That's right. It can be really tough for local governments to go above and beyond those state regulations, even when they think it's necessary to protect their residents.
So it sounds like we need to be pushing for change at both the state and local levels.
Absolutely, a two-pronged approach. We need to be advocating for stronger regulations at the state level to make sure those rules are strong enough to protect all communities across Texas.
Okay.
But we also need to give local governments the power to act in their own areas, whether it's through stricter enforcement of existing regulations, implementing additional safety measures, or even working directly with pipeline companies to improve those safety practices.
And this isn't just about preventing another massive incident like that Deer Park fire.
Right.
It's also about those smaller leaks and spills that can impact our environment and our health over the long term.
Absolutely. We need to be thinking about the cumulative effects of all these incidents, not just the ones that make headlines.
Exactly. Even seemingly minor leaks can contribute to soil and water contamination, air pollution, all sorts of health problems down the road.
Right. And it's about holding those pipeline companies accountable, making sure they're operating in a way that minimizes these risks and protects our communities.
So what can we do as individuals to protect ourselves and our families?
Well, knowledge is power. Like I said, start by learning about the pipelines in your area. You can find maps and information online or by contacting your local government.
Okay, so if we know where the pipelines are, what should we be looking out for?
Be aware of any unusual smells, like a strong odor of gas.
Okay.
Keep an eye out for any hissing sounds, dead vegetation to the pipeline, or bubbling water in ditches or streams.
Got it. And if we see something suspicious, what should we do?
Wait, call 911 or your local emergency number immediately. It's always better to be safe than sorry when it comes to pipeline safety. And remember, never try to fix a leak yourself or wait to see if it gets worse. Get out of there and let the professionals handle it.
That's good advice. And it's also important to think about pipeline safety when we're doing any work on our property.
Absolutely. Always call 811 before you dig, even for small projects. This will help you avoid accidentally hitting a pipeline, which could have serious consequences.
So be informed, be aware, and be proactive when it comes to pipeline safety.
You got it.
You have a role to play in protecting yourself, your family, and your community.
And remember, your voice matters. By staying informed, engaging in your community, and pushing for change, you can help create a safer and more resilient future for all of us.
This deep dive has been quite a journey.
It has.
We started with that shocking pipeline fire.
Right.
Dug into all the complexities of safety regulations and accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And explored what we can do as residents to demand better and create a safer future.
It's been a powerful reminder that we're not helpless. We have the knowledge, the resources, and the collective voice to make a difference.
And that's exactly what Think and Act Locally is all about.
Yeah.
We're here to give you the information, connect you with those resources, and amplify your voices so we can create positive change together.
We believe that by working together, sharing knowledge, holding those in power accountable, and never losing hope, we can build a community that is safer, stronger, and more resilient than ever before.
And that's a vision worth fighting for.
Absolutely.
So stay engaged, stay informed, and never underestimate the power of your voice. And if you find value in what we do here at Think and Act Locally, please consider supporting us at thinkandactlocally.com/donate. You'll find the link in our show notes.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone.